Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Ask the experts about free fitting on all our kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Challenges and opportunities, how Ireland is preparing for the presidency of the EU next year, and what are our Waterford librarians reading now? Well, Tracy and Jenny will be here to tell us what's flying off the shelves for autumn. That's all on the way in this next hour. Now, though, Donald Trump says Kyiv can win back all of Ukraine, and the US president made the comments after one-on-one talks with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky following his 40-minute long address to the UN General Assembly in New York. After the meeting, Donald Trump posted on social media that Ukraine could get back the original borders from where this war started and called Russia a paper tiger. Let's get more on all of this now. I'm joined by Alistair Bunkle, who's Europe correspondent with Sky News. Alistair, thanks for joining us this morning. How significant do you think this change of tune is from Donald Trump?
Well, it is significant because Donald Trump, as US president, is so influential in so much of what goes on in the world, but particularly when it comes to Ukraine and whether or not he decides to back one side or the other. So it is a very marked change in language. It is language that is deeply in favor of Ukraine and European powers, but it is Donald Trump, and Donald Trump changes his mind very quickly and very regularly, often depending on who he last spoke to or was last briefed by or who has annoyed him most recently. And so whilst, you know, Volodymyr Zelensky's clear delight in what Donald Trump had to say is totally understandable, he and everyone will be cautious that the US president can change very quickly.
Mm. Also, he has washed his hands of this conflict. I mean, he's gone from saying that he could sort this thing out in a day, along with other conflicts too, to having that meeting with Vladimir Putin in Alaska, which I think most, including the Trump administration, would agree was a mess, really, because nothing happened as a result. And what he asked for certainly didn't happen. So now is he saying, look, Ukraine can have their territory back, with the support of NATO and Europe, and very pointedly saying, we won't be there, we won't be involved?
Yeah, I mean, it was a really sort of, it was a really kind of naive boast during the election that he could solve all these conflicts, Gaza, Ukraine, you know, within sort of 24 hours of coming into office. And, you know, clearly the reality of complex geopolitics has hit home, even with Donald Trump. And he sort of wavers in his interest for a lot of, including with Israel and Gaza, but certainly with Russia and Ukraine. And this is why I think we should be really cautious about what he had to say last night. I mean, the Russian response was actually quite telling and probably quite on the nose. You know, they said he's a businessman. He's trying to, now whether this is true or not, he's trying to raise oil prices for his own good. Well, where they are correct is Donald Trump is a businessman, and he tends to see or look for financial opportunities in almost everything that he does. And we have seen that play out with Ukraine and signing mineral deals. We've seen that with some favoritism to Russia and the idea that he could sort of revive the economic bear in Russia in order to try and take advantage of that. And I think he will only be engaged if he sees sort of personal advantage, not even advantage to the United States, but sort of personal advantage that he can gain from any situation. Now, that might be, you know, the lure of a Nobel Peace Prize. And let's be honest, if he was able to bring peace to Ukraine in a way that is favorable to the Ukrainians, then he probably would have a very good shot at the Nobel Peace Prize. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it is incredibly complex, and the Russians are very good at playing the game and dragging out negotiations and saying the sort of things that Trump wants to hear, but then, you know, acting in a very different way. And Donald Trump is someone who loses interest very quickly and moves on to the next, well, often self-made crisis.
And we wonder as well how Europe will react to this, because, you know, the big shift, as Zelensky calls it, you know, in the midst of all of that is, as I said, this push to put this on your very firmly on Europe's agenda. Like, there's been no public commitment from Donald Trump to give the Ukraine security guarantees. You know, he's saying after the war is finished. But in terms of getting there, it's now Europe's problem. So what will Europe do?
Well, firstly, I think if Europe feels they have the US backing even if they don't have necessarily the sort of US military support they might want, if they've got the US sort of political and diplomatic backing, I think firstly that would be of some comfort. I think then they'll feel that there's room to try and, you know, get stuff out of the US president by way of kind of military armaments to the Ukrainians, particularly kind of air defenses and perhaps some offensive missiles. I think there's obviously room for negotiation over whether or not the Americans would help with some kind of security backstop in the event of a ceasefire. You know, but the Europeans are in a really tricky position this morning, because on the one hand, you know, they will be wanting to grasp with both hands what Donald Trump had to say about Ukraine last night during his speech at the UN. But on the other hand, a lot of that speech that the US president gave was targeting Europe and severely criticizing Europe on a number of different levels, and they will be wanting to respond to that as well. So yet again, you know, one of Europe's closest allies and the US president has left the continent's leaders in something of a bind.
Yeah, I see as we speak that, you know, there is criticism coming in from the British government of what they see as Donald Trump's misreading of London when he said that Sharia law was set to come in London because migration is so out of hand. I mean, what do you think are the headline issues as in Europe as a result of that UN speech? Or again, do people disregard a lot of what Donald Trump has to say when he goes off on one in the way that he did yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Sharia law coming to light is total nonsense. I mean, there's just no sort of, there is no justification for that claim, and there's, you know, there's no credibility in it, and it's so hard to sort of keep up, because on the one hand, he was over in the UK last week, sort of lapping up all of the kind of the state visit and everything that went with that, and, you know, looked as though, you know, the UK was his new best friend. And then a matter of days later, he's leveling these criticisms at the UK and elsewhere in Europe. I think probably, you know, European leaders have learned pretty fast, and we've seen a succession of them, haven't we, in the Oval Office or at the White House, sort of adapting their style when faced with Donald Trump in front of the cameras. And I think probably they are concluding that the best thing to do, unless there's a real need to push back on something, is to probably just keep quiet and let it wash over. Because if you are reacting to every single thing that Donald Trump says, well, it's going to keep you very busy, but also it's going to have you going round and round in circles. Mm-hmm. So I think they probably are thinking they need to look at the bigger, the wider picture, not necessarily reacting to a single speech, whether it's at the UN or elsewhere. Playing more strategic game.
Well, and that strategy game might be where European leaders go. But what's perhaps more unpredictable is how Vladimir Putin will react, particularly to that dig, you know, where he said Putin and Russia are in big economic trouble, and this is the time for Ukraine to act, and calling Russia a paper tiger. I mean, we know that Putin does not like when his economic success certainly is called into question.
No, and I think there is something in what Donald Trump had to say by through that accusation. I mean, certainly the sanctions, the heavy sanctions on Russia that a lot of European countries. I remember speaking to a British Foreign Office official just after the start of the invasion, and they said, "Look at these sanctions we're bringing in; it will bring Russia to economic collapse within a week." Well, I mean, you know, that was that was more than optimistic. The Russians are pretty good at sustaining sanctions against them, but without in the doubt, it is having a major effect on the economy. And there are question marks over how long Vladimir Putin can keep this war going on. I noticed Dmitry Peskov, the Kremlin spokesperson, said we're not a tiger, we're a bear, which sort of sounded like this is one of the things my children might say to me. It sounded like slightly sort of desperate to sort of be seen in the light you want to be seen.
Yeah.
They won't like it. They won't like it. They're being, you know, it is a humiliation for them, and we'll see them respond. 150 drones fired at flown towards Ukraine overnight.
Yeah, well, I mean, and there you go, and that continues on that front. But also interesting that Donald Trump has said that Europe or NATO nations should shoot down any Russian planes or drones that enter their airspace. Again, you look at it on face value, you think this is a big shift, but really, he is shifting all responsibility onto others.
And that will, that's what will sit slightly uncomfortably with European nations, NATO countries. If we shoot one of these, if we shoot down a Russian MiG, for example, do we still have US backing when, you know, the proverbial fallout hits the fan? You know, will the US president still back us if we end up, you know, killing a couple of Russian fighter pilots, for example? And people don't know that. And they don't know whether or not, you know, Donald Trump will keep backing them, even when the going gets really tough. I think, you know, that there is a consideration within some Eastern European countries that that is the best course of action, whether or not they decide to do it. Let's see. But, you know, remember when Russia fired, flew a couple of their fighter jets into Turkish territory over the Syrian border?
Yes.
Some years back, and the Turks shot them down. And actually, there wasn't an awful lot of fallout to it. Mm-hmm. And it never happened again. Now, you know, that is, you know, that is the sort of analysis that I'm sure in NATO they'll be considering whether or not it is a risk worth taking.
Alistair, thank you very much for joining us on the programme. Alistair Bunkle is Europe correspondent with Sky News. Now, later on, the Waterford librarians Jenny and Tracy will be telling us about the books that are flying off the shelves this autumn and that you might want to put on your list. Next, though, childhood eczema, the causes, the symptoms and the all-important treatment.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.